If you pay attention to the news at all, there was recently a coup of one country, but it brought back a memory of something that happened a year ago. There was a group that attempted to overthrow President Maduro of Venezuela just a year ago. They wanted to oust him, and they contracted an American military contracting company, former Green Berets, and two Green Berets with a group of 30 Venezuelan volunteers took fishing boats a year ago to the northern tip of Venezuela. And these two, maybe a little bit past their prime, retired former Green Beret, and just 30 Venezuelan volunteers thought that they can overthrow President Maduro and his whole army, just the 32 or so of them. In retrospect, it's become a huge joke, and it ended up being very embarrassing for them and for this American company that they thought they could pull this off. And kind of ridiculous that they even attempted it. President Maduro said the day that they killed or arrested all of them as they were coming into the country, he said, "We were tracking them every moment. We heard all their conversations. We were connected to their communications. We were listening to everything they said. We infiltrated their group. We were there. We knew what they were eating. We knew what they were drinking. We knew who was financing them. We let the money flow just to see how it would play out. We know where they got the weapons. We let the weapons go just to let it play out and see who else would be involved." Yeah, this happens all the time in the United States. You have terrorists thinking that they're perpetrating a terrorist attack, and really they're meeting up with FBI agents pretending to be their co-conspirators and say, "Oh yeah, we'll get you weapons. Oh yeah, where are you going to do it? We'll help you." And they give them some inert fake bomb, and then they show up to a shul, they show up somewhere, and they try to blow up their fake bomb, and then the FBI arrests them. They wait for it to play out. They see, "You're horrible people. You tried to blow something up," and then they arrest them. You read this in the news, like every month or so, there's another one of these stories. I don't know how they don't figure it out. But imagine these people, these former Green Berets, and 30 volunteers, Venezuelan volunteers. Imagine them, they're on their way into the country. They're gonna overthrow the president. They're gonna finally take him down and get in place somebody else who America favored. They were gonna take the President Maduro hostage, bring him to the United States where he was wanted on drug trafficking charges, get him thrown into an American prison. They had it all worked out, how they were gonna take over. And really, every step of the way, they were being watched. They were even being permitted and assisted every step of what they were doing. They thought they were on their way to overthrow a president. The president was sitting back there laughing at them, listening into their communications, getting, "Oh yeah, sure, let's let them have those weapons. Yeah, let's let them have those silly little fishing boats. What did they have for breakfast today? Okay, good." The mushroom is, I think, so powerful. We think that the king isn't in charge. We think we can go against what the king wants. But really, he's completely in charge. And he knows everything that's going on. And he enables us and gives us the energy and the power to do everything we do. He's so much in charge of everything, he's even the one who gives us the ability to go against him. Hashem is so much the king in charge of everything, there is nothing that gets in the way of his power, in the way of his rule. Even when we rebel against him, he's the one who's allowing us to do that. Now, I don't think he's sitting there laughing at us like Maduro was, but he's sitting there letting us mess up, giving us the opportunity, letting it play out. Let's see how you do. I'll give you the tools. You want to do well? I'll give you the tools to do well. You want to rebel? I'll give you the tools to do that. And it's for a reason. So that we have the challenge that we can succeed and hopefully not fail. Rosh Hashanah is a time of declaring Hashem as the king, Hashem as our melech. He's in control of everything. Complete control of everything. There's nothing that is out of his control. There's nothing that can go against his control. Now, making Hashem our king sounds difficult. And really, to the modern ear, making someone king over yourself doesn't just sound like a difficult thing to do. It sounds bad. It sounds uncomfortable. Oh, let's create a monarch who will rule over us. It just sounds like something I wouldn't want to do, right? So what does it really mean? What does it really mean to make Hashem the king? What does it mean? It must mean something that shouldn't rub us the wrong way. It doesn't mean I'm giving up my free will. I'm going to be a slave because Hashem wants us to have free will. He wants to let us mess up or do the right thing. He wants us to go through those challenges. It doesn't mean we're expected to be impoverished and give up all our money and all our happiness. Hashem says, I want you to be happy. I want you to be wealthy. I want you to have land. I want you to win wars. I want you to have your own country. Hashem wants us to have everything. So what does it mean? I'm going to make a king in a way that I'm his slave. It means something different than a modern person would say, let's have a king and I want to enslave myself, make myself subservient. These words just would sound so bad to most people nowadays. What Malchus really means is something that I think we need to think about for a second as we're approaching coming into Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah's coming, right? We do know that, right? We might have been schluffing through slichos. Kia Shofar might have been trying to wake us up, but guess what? Rosh Hashanah is coming tonight. We're going to be accepting Hashem as our king, recognizing that he is the creator of the world tonight. Are we ready for that? Do we know what that means? When do we accept Hashem as a king? All year long, we accept Hashem as our king. When? Twice a day. Somebody help me out here.
Shema.
Shema. You say Shema, you're accepting Hashem. You're Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. You're Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. Every time you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Have you ever thought about that? Is that really accepting Hashem as your king? Hashem is one. He's the only creator. There's only one creator of the world. Did I just accept Hashem as my king? All I did was I said he's one. I said there's no God. I said there's no other God, no other creator. There's no other person giving life to the world. There's one God, one. So it's this saying that God is one. How is that really saying Hashem is the king? If you look, the Ramchal, in particular in Das Tzfunos, makes this point very clearly. It's a major theme of the entire first section of Das Tzfunos, is that Achdus, believing in Hashem being one, first of all, he says that's the whole purpose of the world. The entire purpose of the world is just for us to come to recognize that Hashem is Echad. He said, what does Echad mean? You might think Echad means believing that there's only one creator. You might think Echad means believing there's only one person who is giving me life. Echad, he says, primarily means that there's only one existence who rules over everything. There's only one existence who there's nothing that can defeat him. There's nothing that can get in the way of his will. And even when we go against his will, we're not going against his will. It's because he's letting us do that. The Achdus of Hashem is that he's one king, one ruler, one force that's in charge of everything. Hashem Echad is Hashem is one. There's nothing else in the world that can do anything without Hashem allowing it and wanting it to happen. Everything happens because Hashem wants it to happen. So being Mamlech Hashem, saying Hashem is Melech, is really a recognition of Hashem's Echad. Like we say in Aleinu, end of Aleinu, three times a day. V'hai Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz. When Hashem's to be king over the whole world, then his name will be one. He's one when he's king. the kingness, the fact that he reigns over the world, that is the same thing. That is what we mean when we say he's one. He's the only one who rules over everything. There's nothing that happens in the world. It's all Hashem. A hurricane hits Louisiana. That's Hashem. The tiniest little variation and a little bit of wind and a little bit of something, it could have gone off and just gone into the ocean, and instead, entire cities are devastated. Every person who gets coronavirus, that is Hashem. Hashem could have had it not mutate to another variant that would get more people. But he allowed it to mutate, or made it mutate. When I study for a test one day, and I feel like I studied so well, and then I do well. And then I study, I think, just as well the next day for another test, and I think I did so well, and then I don't do so well. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How well your brain is working is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I got a cold. Do I get better? Can I get out of bed today because I'm too sick? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Echad, a recognition of Hashem Echad, that everything's from Hashem, that's how we make Hashem the king. It's not, I need to make myself a slave. Let me imagine I'm being whipped by the master and I'm working on a plantation, picking cotton. That's not what we're imagining. That's not what we're imagining when we say we're going to be slaves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're his servants. We're imagining Hashem Echad, that everything in the world comes from Hashem, powered by Hashem, energized by Hashem. The Energizer Bunny is really Hashem. Everything is from Hashem. There's nothing that is not from Hashem. So it's not I'm enslaving myself. The Avoda is to build awareness, that Hashem Echad, that everything is from him. And when you realize that, Memela, automatically there's a Shibud. There's an Ol Malchus Shemayim. There's something that you must do. You must serve Hashem. Not because I'm going to choose to serve Hashem. It's because you're an idiot if you don't realize you have to. If you don't realize, well, everything's from Hashem, of course I need to be part of the world serving Hashem, because everything's up to him. My happiness, my success, my future, my health, everything that happens is decided by Hashem. Of course, I need to be part of this, and I can't sit back and pretend that I'm not, because all the pretending in the world doesn't change the fact, Hashem Echad, everything really is just from Hashem. So yes, there's an Ol Malchus Shemayim, there's a yoke, it's there, it's stuck there. Not because I'm placing a yoke on myself, I'm choosing to enslave myself. Whether you choose it or not, it is there. You are an Eved Hashem, whether you choose it or not. The question is, do you open your eyes and realize it? Do you realize that you are part of a system that's only doing what Hashem lets you do? That you're only getting and succeeding to the extent that Hashem lets you succeed? Rav Hirsch, in the first mitzvah, in Choriv, in his book where he goes to all the mitzvahs, the first mitzvah he writes is Kabbal Sol Malchus Shemayim. And he gives when I first read Choriv, what I thought was a very novel approach to what Kabbal Sol Malchus Shemayim means. But in light of what I just explained to you, and the Ramchal, and thinking about how the Achdus, Kabbal Sol Malchus Shemayim is really Achdus Hashem, realizing Achdus Hashem, I think you'll hear in a second that the way he says it is exactly what I've been telling you. Rav Hirsch says, what is Kabbal Sol Malchus Shemayim? What's accepting Hashem as king? Accepting Hashem as king is looking around at the whole world. Step one, look around at the whole world and realize that everything in the world is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and playing its part in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's given certain abilities. The cloud is given so much moisture, positioned in just the right place, so that when it's time, it's going to rain. And guess what? It rains when it hits that point. It uses its kochos fully. It does it. It rains. And then the plants grow, and then the animals go and kill each other and do whatever animals do. What do hamsters do? Where is that? No, he's not here. They everything in the world you could see exactly based on what it's made out of, the abilities that it's given, and the environment it's put in, and you could figure out exactly what it's going to do. So step number one of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, he says, is looking at the world and realizing that everything is serving Hashem. But he says step number two is the most important part. It's then looking and saying, I'm also part of that. I'm also serving Hashem. I also was given certain kochos, so much of this ability, so little of this ability. So much of this talent, so little of this talent. I was given certain abilities, whatever they are, and I have a mission to use those abilities in the environment that he put me in, with the family that I have, and use them to my fullest. I also am part of this mission. He says the whole world is a beautiful symphony, orchestra playing music, all playing the songs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the conductor, is having them play. Every single part of the world is playing its music perfectly. And we need to say, I'm Mekabel Malchus Shamayim, I realize I'm part of this. I'm part of the symphony and I have to play my part. I've told you guys that when I've taken my wife, I don't know if I told you this last year, but several years past I mentioned this. I've taken my wife to the symphony. There's the first violinist at BSO, Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. The first violinist is like a chashuv position. You have a conductor, and the next most chashuv position is the first violinist. And he sits up front, in front of all the violinists. And the first violinist in Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, in all their ad marketing materials, you see him usually right there. He goes wild. When he's playing violin, he is shuckling more than any Rebbe you've ever seen shuckle. Okay, I'm not sure. He is shaking violently as he's playing his violin, schwitzing so into it. He's just another violinist. You know, there's 15 other guys, however many other violinists doing exactly the same thing, but he's into it. He knows that he's going to do his part. And I'd say this over. My wife had an addition. I said this over when you're at the Shabbos table. My wife had an amazing addition. She said, you know what? The person sitting, not playing his role, imagine if somebody was sitting in the middle of the orchestra, middle of the symphony, and just sat there. I was like, hey, you know what, actually? Let me check the scores on yesterday's game. And everyone's sitting there watching, and he's just like chilling, checking on his phone. I'll do my thing. We don't want to be that guy. Rosh Hashanah's coming out. It's a lot of davening. The symphony's going to be playing music. We're all going to be in shul. All of Klal Yisrael's playing music. Hashem's watching us. Our ancestors are watching us. They're all putting their hope in us that we're going to succeed. We don't want to be sitting there in the middle of the orchestra with everybody watching us, pulling out our cell phones, just spacing out. We want to do our part. And that is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. Realizing that the whole world is serving Hashem and realizing that you are part of it.